From our 901 Mission Street studios, you are listening to the San Francisco Chronicle.
I'm Peter Hartlob, and this is The Big Event, and it's a bonus episode. Remember when you used to watch Different Strokes and Gary Coleman would be on for like 45 seconds, and all of a sudden you're watching a Facts of Life episode? It was called a backdoor pilot, and that's what I'm doing here. I'm now producing a second podcast called Datebook Podcast. It's with me and all the talented Datebook editors and writers I work with. We've had classical music critic Joshua Cosman interviewing cellist Yo-Yo Ma, book editor John McMurtry interviewing beat poet Lawrence Ferlinghetti, and a lot of fun, informative Bay Area discussions. Movie critic Mick LaSalle talking about movies, theater critic Lily Janik interviewing people on her beat. The episode you're about to hear is me, Janik, and pop music critic Ideen Vaziri talking about all the Bay Area bargains we find on our beats. If you like it, please subscribe, search Datebook Podcast or Datebook Podcast Hartlob on iTunes, Stitcher, and other streaming services. Give it all the love that you've heaped on The Big Event. Here you go, Datebook Podcast with me, Lily Janik, and Ideen Vaziri. Welcome to the Datebook Podcast. I'm pop culture critic Peter Hartlob, joined today by pop music critic Ideen Vaziri and theater critic Lily Janik. We're talking about entertainment bargains today, sort of unloading our brains about the best well-priced, inexpensive, and free things to do on our Chronicle beats. We'll talk about some of the big ones, Hardly Strictly Bluegrass and Stern Grove, but also some affordable entertainment off the beaten path, places like the Piano Fight Performing Arts Space, the Endgames Improv, music venues including the Rickshaw Stop and the Ivy Room, and the new Parkway Movie Theater in Oakland. So you're going to learn a few things. Puppets are affordable, we've decided. Lily would be an usher if she wasn't a theater critic, and there's such a thing as a pay-what-you-want movie in the Bay Area. Datebook Podcast, thank you for listening. Welcome to the Datebook Podcast, Ideen Vaziri and Lily Janik.
Hey, Peter.
Hey.
Hey, there's a little bit of construction noise going on down here. We're in the archive where we record the big event, and I don't usually have construction noise. But are you guys going to be cool with that?
This is, yeah.
As long as we still have an office to go to yes. After this podcast.
I figure construction means the Chronicle's like making money. There's something good going
right.
on.
That's a good point.
So we're all going to
construction,
get
not destruction.
If they're not building a soul cycle.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know what? We're here to talk about bargains, entertainment bargains on our beats. And this kind of came up partly because I'm so frustrated as a parent and as someone who goes to sporting events and stuff like that, how expensive things are getting. And
the rent is too damn high, man.
The rent is super high. And I find myself more and more outside of my beat looking for bargains. So I thought we could all kind of help each other out and talk about some bargains on our beat. I wanted to ask you, though, what kind of trends you're seeing, if you're seeing what I'm seeing, which is it's getting, especially the top end things are getting way more expensive compared to what they were maybe even 5 or 10 years ago.
It's I'll start with the music festivals that I go to. It has just, there used to be, you know, you could buy tickets to hang out in the field and get mud on your boots. And then you could buy VIP where you would actually have access to a clean porta potty, maybe. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Fancy.
But now there's, you know, with Bottle Rock and Outside Lands, there are all these different tiers of VIP. So you just the plain old VIP is not good. You need, like at Bottle Rock, there's a sky deck where you can, on the main stage, you're above the soundboard on this literal deck, like just above everyone. And then
looking down on the masses.
Yes. And then there's the Ultimate Platinum experience where you're in this room and there's gourmet food and cocktails and people hanging out and there's a DJ in there. It's right next to the stage, but you can't see the stage, but it doesn't matter because you're in this amazing room. So
and you don't have to do that, but it seems like even the low end, I mean, you don't have to spend $10,000 to get the Bottle Rock Super Platinum, but even if you're going to a festival one day and spending $100 or $120 on a ticket, there's parking, I can't get out of, I think about Niner games. That's what I go to. And I've been going since I was a kid with my parents, and it was a middle-class event. And now, like, if I go to 3 Niner games a year, that's my entertainment budget, because the tickets, you know, $100 each or more, $50 for parking, or if I take the train, it's still $50 for two of us. Food, we bring our food in a clear bag. it just seems like things are getting more expensive.
In the theater world, I would say that's perhaps true at, you know, the most expensive things. And I'm not even just talking about the touring Broadway shows. Like, there are some nonprofit theater companies where tickets are $125 for the best seats on the best nights. But I would say at pretty much every other level, ticket prices have stayed pretty stable or gone up like $5. And I think theater folks' wages have also stayed the same or go down. So, like, there are plenty of theater companies in the Bay Area where you can get a ticket for $20 or less.
And I think that's what I want to do today is, find some bargains. And I understand, I mean, the prices go up. Everything in the Bay Area is going up. But I still see in comedy and in movies still some really good deals around that people maybe don't know about because, hey, I'm going to go spend $100 on Kevin Hart and I don't realize there's some people putting on some pretty good, reliable shows here for a very small amount of money. And that's kind of what I wanted to get into.
I'd be really excited to hear about the movie deals because I feel like I'm spending upwards of $30 on a movie ticket now. And I am just like, live theater is less expensive than this a lot of the time.
Yeah, well, I'll get to movies. I wanted to actually, though, I went through the archive, as I'm wont to do, and looked at some prices for like some really classic things over the years that'll make people crazy, mostly. The Last Waltz, tickets were $20. Now, this is the, that was considered crazy high. This is 1976, the last performance by the band with a bunch of other of their guests. Martin Scorsese is filming The Last Waltz. $20. Everybody thought that was insane. And you got like a free Thanksgiving dinner and it went on for what, like 2 days?
Bob Dylan was there.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, man.
Everyone was there. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's another one. Prince coming for the Purple Rain tour in 1985. Again, people were so outraged by the ticket prices. Coming to the Cow Palace, $17.50. And people were, I mean, we have a front page story about how like outraged people are with the $17.50 tickets and you can only get four. And so I found that entertaining.
That's like the going rate for a cocktail now or something.
Finally, the Snack Concert. That's Bill Graham's like legendary concert at Kesar Stadium. Ideen, do you know about this?
Only from the thing that you wrote about it.
Yeah but
who
like
who was there?
Everyone, literally everyone from Dylan to Santana to Led Zeppelin to Marlon Brando.
What?
Willie Mays, The Dead. $5.
No.
So that was in 1975, and that was a fundraiser. And then finally, I do have one more. King Tut tickets in 1979, and this was another one. People thought these were so crazy. It's at the De Young Museum. King Tut is going to come. They're going to bring the actual, you know, like big deal mask, and it was $450,
wow.
$250 for juniors.
Yeah. So by contrast, that Snack Concert you mentioned was a fundraiser, and they were charging $5. I went and saw Metallica this weekend play an acoustic show for their foundation. The balcony seats, the cheap seats, started at $250. And then I'd never seen this before, but on the floor where there would normally be a pit at a Metallica concert, they had laid out Persian rugs, couches, and these tables with bottle service. And those seats were going for like $6,250 on eBay. But anyway, that's how Now that's the going rate.
Well, let's use our combined expertise here to tell people some bargains that are out there that maybe they're not thinking about. Lily, I wanted to start with you.
All right. So I've got two kind of general tips and then a few specific companies to check out. So almost every mid-level and all the way to like our equivalent of off Broadway, pretty much all of those theater companies do pay what you can previews. And so previews are every performance before opening night. And so you could show up with a dollar and they would let you in. Yes, the show might still change between then and opening, but you're also kind of a part of determining what the final product will look like. Like if you are that guy who laughs really hard, then that then the artists know, oh, that joke really landed. So companies that do this include Shotgun Players, New Conservatory Theater Center, The Rhino, Z Space, City Lights, Dragon Theater Company down in Redwood City, Crowded Fire. And then there are a couple of companies that have pay what you can shows all the time. Ubuntu Theater Project, which just got featured in American Theater Magazine for having a pay what you can subscription. So, you know, a dollar for, I don't even know how many plays these guys do, like 6, 7, 8 per year. And it's like some of the most innovative, creative, daring theater you could see. I mean, they did a streetcar earlier this year that made me feel like A Streetcar Named Desire was a brand new play. Theater of Others, which is a company I haven't even gotten to check out myself yet, but they're here in the Tenderloin. They do Shakespeare, and it's pay what you can also. So then if there are theater companies that don't have pay what you can previews, you can volunteer usher. And so, you know, you show up a little bit early, you wear all black, maybe, you hand out programs or scan tickets, and then almost always, unless it's a completely sold out show, you get to see the show for free. I know people who go from theater company to theater company and are volunteer ushers at all of them and have like this spreadsheet schedule of where they're going to be each night. This is what I'm going to do when I'm no longer the theater critic at the Chronicle and I've got to really watch my theater going dollars. I know Berkeley Rep does that. They have this army of volunteer ushers. So then a couple more. There's Endgame's Improv. And so improv isn't specifically my beat as a theater critic, but I just did a big pink cover story on improv. And their shows are like free to $10. If you show up at 9 o'clock on a Friday night and get your name on the list, then you can get into their 10:30 show for free. There's actually this show called Your Effed Up Relationship, and they bring an audience member on stage to talk about this really messed up like romantic relationship from their past. And one of the troupe members interviews and gets all the sorry and sordid details, and then they act it out, and it's hilarious and wonderful and hella chill. Sorry.
This is awesome. You're opening like a whole world to us right now of like, I feel like I could watch good
Should
theater.
We let people know about this?
Yeah, I know. This is like,
cancel the podcast.
Yeah, this is a premium podcast, everyone. This is awesome.
Yeah. I would go see them every weekend if I could. And same with this other group I want to recommend, the San Francisco Neo-Futurists. They're at Piano Fight. Tickets are $14 to $19. They're every weekend. And also at Piano Fight, you can always get like a drink or a whole dinner, also very reasonably priced at the venue right before the show starts. It's a great vibe just in the like in the lobby area. There's always live music. There's always a place to sit. It's just a great place to be. But so this show, it's called The Infinite Wrench, and it's 30 short plays in 60 minutes. And by short, I mean very, very, very short. Sometimes they're just a couple of seconds long. It's just like a visual sight gag. But they're racing against the clock. At least some of the shows are new every week, and it ranges from like puppet shows to confessional monologues to audience guessing games. It's just a real testament to the wealth of creativity that humans are capable of. I would absolutely be there as often as I possibly could if I didn't have to go to other shows, and it wouldn't hurt my wallet too much.
Wow. That was impressive.
I can't top. No.
You have to, Ideen. Okay. You're next.
Well, that's fine. San Francisco, well, the Bay Area in general, is a great place to live, to see, I mean, free music. There's a lot of cheap music, which I'll talk about, but we have Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival, which is 3 days, almost 100 acts, and a lot of them are really amazing. We have the Stern Grove Festival every summer, which, you know, goes through from June through August, and it's every Sunday there's a free show, and you get great people like Mavis Staples or Michael Franti or Nikki Bloom. We have the Yerba Buena Gardens Festival that also runs through the summer, and that's everything. That has puppet shows as well, and ballet. And
getting a real theme here. Puppets are affordable.
Music and all kinds of exciting stuff. My big thing now is when I have to go see a show at like one of the big arenas, and I pull in, and there's the big sign that says parking $60, and I'm like, the thought that always goes through my head as I'm handing over the money is, I could go to bottom of the hill for a week and see lots of amazing acts just for the price of parking here, you know. And the arena shows, that adds up, you know. The ticket prices are generally start in the $90 range, and then you pay $60 for parking, and once they have you there, everything's inflated in price, you know, the beer, the t-shirts. So you're talking about spending $500-$700 just to go see a concert.
And you think you might only be paying the ticket price or something, and then you show up and you don't know how expensive parking is. That would kill me.
Oh my goodness.
You ride your bike everywhere. We should mention
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm pretending like I park. Yeah. You know, I'm just trying to imagine.
It's definitely bad. But the great thing is there are all those amazing venues in the Bay Area where you can still see a show for $10, for $12. You know, one of my favorite spots is the Rickshaw Stop, which is tiny, and they always have amazing, like Sam Smith played his first American show there. I've seen, you know, Tune Yards there, Ty Siegel. It's tiny, it's affordable. We have Bottom of the Hills still around. In Berkeley, we have Gilman, 924 Gilman, which, you know, Green Day got its start, and it still hosts amazing punk shows. The Ivy Room in Albany.
I just bought Ivy Room tickets for American Steel, which is a established punk band that are coming back doing two comeback shows. And the tickets were, I mean, it was like $15. And I mean,
oh, you got ripped off. They're usually $8 for that venue.
So,
But like, you know, Billy Joe Armstrong, when he wants to take out one of his, when he's bored on a Tuesday night and he wants to play with his friends, he'll go and play at the Ivy Room. It's like $8. And
that's,
you know,
amazing.
It's really, there's a lot of great clubs. And then, you know, the places like the Fillmore and the Independent and the Masonic, they're still, even though they get these really big touring acts, they're still relatively affordable. You can get tickets for $20-$25, and these aren't scalp tickets. These are, you know, if you pick the right night and you just want to go hang out at the Fillmore because it's an amazing venue, and you usually can't go wrong, you know, with what they book. So
and I think Lily brought up a good point that it's more and more expensive for these venues to stay around. So I'm certainly not blaming the Masonic or blaming the Great American Music Hall or any of these venues that are bigger and dealing with volume, that it's an expensive night out. It just means you have to be maybe a little more selective. Or I think when there are venues like that, it just becomes more vital to know about a few that are a much better bargain. And maybe I'm going to go to a few more of those. Ivy Room is a great example. I got a couple of movie theaters. You wanted to know movie theaters?
Yeah, I really want to know.
Go to Oakland. That's my answer. The New Parkway, everything is $10. They have couches, and it's basically an old converted warehouse that they put into a two-screen theater.
Wait, couches in the theater?
They have couches, they have beanbag chairs, but it's clean, it's chill, And the food prices are super, super low. I'm not going to tell you the prices, but they're like half of what you think you're going to pay at a movie theater. Plus, they have like Italian sodas and stuff. I'm making it sound pretentious. It's not.
No,
it's
no,
a
no.
great place.
That
and they won't.
Sound pretentious.
This is crazy. They won't take tips. Like you try, you keep the change. No, we don't take tips. All right. They have this thing where they don't take tips and they pay all their people a living wage. And then finally, and I hesitate to even say this about the new Parkway, but they have Karma Cinema. And their Karma Cinema is pay what you want. Now, I hope like half the people who are going to Karma Cinema are paying more than $10. But I think it speaks to the spirit of the place that it's like if you're a student who's struggling or if it's the end of the month and you're having a tough time, you can come see a movie here one night a week. And when your ship comes in, please come back and give a little bit more. So Karma Cinema, I've never heard anything about that like that in the Bay Area.
Yeah,
a movie place.
I didn't know movie places did pay what you can. That's great.
Yeah, so that's the new Parkway in Uptown Oakland. And then my other movie recommendation, and I write about this theater more than anyone, but it's the best theater in the Bay Area. The Grand Lake Theater in Oakland is still charging $11 for, they have first run movies, their projection, their all their audio, everything they put into it is totally top flight. I've seen their projection room. It's the same projectors that Pixar has in their projection room when they're doing their dailies. I mean, it's crazy. Alan Michon's the owner. He's put a ton of money into it. No commercials, no video games in the lobby. He basically is trying to keep it like it's the 1920s. And free popcorn on Mondays. And he was talking to me. He just bought the building. He had been leasing it on like this 99-year lease. He bought the land outright. He owns it now. And he's even talking about spreading out the free popcorn over one more day. I don't think he's done it yet, but Monday is free popcorn day. So Grand Lake Theater, $11 for a first-run movie. I think that's a pretty good deal.
And the no commercials thing, you just saying that makes me realize how much I dread going to movie theaters early now because I'm going to get bombarded with all those awful, awful ads.
Yeah.
How lovely to be able to escape that.
Yeah. They show, every once in a while, he'll show like a local documentary and that some local person did for a few minutes. And that's about it. They show the trailers and that's it. Aideen, you talked about venues, like certain venues, just you feel like they're a good bargain. I feel that way with the Masonic. Now, I'm taking public transit there, and now that my bike mentor, Lily Janik, has gotten me on my bike more, I'm taking my bike more at night into events and branching out a little bit.
Right on, Peter. Go forth, young grasshopper.
Little baby steps. But I, you know, not factoring in parking there, I think, like, Masonic. I think of, like, Chapel. Chapel has like great acts and it's a just a special night. So much of it for me is the destination and the memory of it. And if you're going to a place, Chapel is what, a converted mortuary?
Something like that. Yeah, but it's an amazing venue and you have all of Valencia Street there, so it's a great neighborhood to hang out and you can go get dinner on the cheap, see a show. And, you know, it's not going to cost more than $100 for you and a friend to do that, which is, and I want to, you know, also there's SF Jazz, which, you know, in the main room, it can get kind of expensive if you're seeing a big name, but they also have the Joe Henderson Lab, which is just off to the side, and they get a lot of great shows in there, which are sometimes free, sometimes, you know, on the really cheap side. So you can experience even the higher end venues under the right circumstances without spending too much.
And I also wanted to give a shout out, like what you were saying, Peter, about just having a good vibe from a particular venue. I always feel that way at the Exit Theater. First of all, free, safe bike parking inside off the street. No other theater does that. Okay, unrelated, I know. But they always have like this, these free pretzels you can get, and if you want a glass of wine or to take into the show with you, it's like $5 or $6, maybe, like a way better deal than anywhere else. They have three stages in there. You'll have some amazing, weird, off-the-wall show to pick from. Maybe it's new every weekend or something. And it just has this wonderfully unpretentious old school San Francisco vibe.
Obviously, you know, just the topic of this podcast, we're not mentioning a lot of the big players, but like the Symphony and Opera, I think, go out of their way to have a lot of programs and outreach programs that are of various prices. So maybe opening night is kind of expensive, but there's going to be another conductor or someone else doing something. And there's usually ways that you can experience symphony and opera. I think the comedy version of that for me is Punchline. They've got a showcase every Sunday night. You're at the Punchline. It's this historic, you know, awesome comedy venue. And yes, it's a showcase, so it's newer comics, but a lot of great comics have come through San Francisco. I mean, that's consistent. So if you're going to the showcase every other week or once every month or two, you're probably going to see someone who's pretty big. And the tickets are $13.50, which is, I mean, next to nothing for a comedy club these days. Comedy Oakland, probably a year ago, I would have mentioned them at the beginning of the podcast. Their prices are super low. They don't have the two-drink minimum. It's on Webster Street. They get pretty good comics. I've written a couple stories about them. Their prices have gone up a little bit, usually $15 to $20, but they don't have the two-drink minimum. And the guy who runs it, Samson Kolatkar, he really makes sure he gets a good mix with a couple of people in there who are pretty established locally and then some newcomers. I also just think there are a lot of young comics who are really scrappy and are putting on their own showcases at, you know, everywhere from the White Horse in Oakland to the Starline Social Club to there's a group that puts on comedy at the New Mission in one of the theaters every week. I'm going to mention one name, Irene Tu. She's a very good local comic. And
she's awesome.
She's awesome. Thank you. And she usually has like three or four comedy events going on any given month. A lot of them are weekly. Just go to her website, Google Irene Tu. And everything I've seen, she always brings in good comics. She's really conscious about giving people a good time. They're usually totally cheap. Matt Lieb is another guy locally who promotes a lot. Nato Green, I've had a weird one-sided feud with him. He's got a thing with me, but he puts on a lot of shows and makes sure he gets good comedians there. And there's a lot of bargains if you go kind of below that level in comedy. There's also a lot of free stuff with comedy. Sometimes that's a little, you know, hit or miss, but there are a lot of places where you pay $5 and you're going to get a really great night of comedy if you look around.
You know, musically, some of the best experiences, there are these house concerts happening now, you know, which are really cool because they don't have to pay the venue fees. They don't have to go through all the traditional routes. So they're playing in someone's living room and it's a cheap show. It's an amazing, you know, intimate venue. Casey Turner actually does a lot of those. And, you know, you can see someone like John Vanderslice or Essence or someone really cool local. Some touring acts come through. But I love house concerts. They're a lot of fun.
Cool. I've noticed, I don't know about you, Aideen, but I've noticed I live in Alameda in the street fairs. The quality of the street fair band is getting better. Now, I remember when I moved into the Hate, and this crosses over with another podcast on the Big Event, you talked about seeing Jefferson Starship. And
right.
I remember seeing Jefferson Starship in the Hate for free. And it was probably 2000. But anyway, in Alameda, I'm like Petty Theft has played. Like, I've just been walking down the street at a street fair and Petty Theft is playing there. That is a great Tom Petty cover band.
Right. And the Fillmore Street Fair always gets great jazz acts. We can't forget to mention the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk, where
yes.
You can see, like, during the summer, there's no better place to see bands like Blue Oyster Cult, Y&T, Smash Mouth,
Y&T,
totally free, yes. Santa Cruz, beautiful, warm, the beach is right there.
Yeah, Smash Mouth and Y&T. You know when you say Y&T, it just becomes a podcast about
Y&T. It was
Y&T.
A trigger word.
Other thoughts, Lily, anything else you guys want to add?
Well, I mean, we're getting into summer and I miss you, summer, but you'll be back soon. I mean, free summer theater is like its whole thing. You've got the Mime Troupe, the Tony winning San Francisco Mime Troupe, which tours throughout Northern California, like up to Ukiah, all over the place. San Francisco Shakespeare Festival, which is all over the Bay Area and runs for months. Both these things are completely free and wonderful. So when people say that, like, Shakespeare, for example, is completely inaccessible, I don't know. That bugs me a little bit because the good folks at SF Shakes have been bringing like very high quality productions of Shakespeare to audiences in like neighborhood parks completely free for years. And then there's the peripatetic players, which do like family friendly theater in really, really small parks, like the Noe Valley Town Square, which is a park I learned about recently. So summer is really where it's at if you want free theater.
Very good. I think my main takeaway here is we all need to just stop complaining about the expensive Taylor Swift tickets or just ratchet down the complaining. Well, it's worth a little bit of complaining.
If you want to see Beyonce, that's still going to set you back, you know, a week's salary. But
I think we've offered a lot of options here. So I'm very happy with this podcast. I'm already in my head.
Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome.
Glad we've lived up to your expectations.
You have. You've exceeded them, Lily. I'm already kind of mentally planning a sequel. Who do you think we should recruit next within our ranks?
For I'm always interested in cheap eats. And the other thing is art. I would get Charles down here because
yes,
I want to go to the MoMA, and it is just too expensive. And I think museums. I would love to hear about, you know, seeing art on the cheap. So get Charles down here.
Charles de Marais.
And let's bring in Cosman, you know. First of all, he's the wittiest person in the arts and features department. So this man needs to be podcasting all the damn time.
Yeah.
And I want to know his, like, ins to seeing those symphonies and operas on the cheap.
So Joshua, I think that's a great... Charles and Joshua, those are great ads.
Yes.
Okay, so in short, things are crazy expensive.
However,
we've given you a lot of options.
Just look a little. Just look a little bit and you'll find them.
Look a little bit and you'll find them.
The Datebook site is a great resource for all this.
Datebook site is a great resource. Subscribe to the Chronicle.
And it's really pretty now, our new site, by the way. If you haven't looked us up recently on the web, we're so much prettier than we used to be.
Datebook.sfchronicle.com.
Yeah.
Awesome. So we've plugged that. And thank you both for coming in.
Thank you. That was fun.
You are listening to the San Francisco Chronicle. Thank you to Ideen Vaziri and Lily Janik. Our producer today is me, Peter Hartlob. Executive producer is Fernando Diaz, and our editor-in-chief is Audrey Cooper. Music is Mozart's Symphony 40 in G minor by Blue Dot Sessions. Read our columns and subscribe to the Chronicle at www.sfchronicle.com. San Francisco Chronicle podcasts are on Apple Podcasts and other streaming services. Listen at www.sfchronicle.com/podcasts with an S.